Now, John Stockwell. I was getting some notes together to get ready to introduce John, and I can almost do this in my sleep now because I'm sick of saying these things. John Stockwell, the highest ranking CIA officer ever to go pop, you know. I sort of, right from the beginning, I didn't like the tone, and I can imagine how John feels like after 600 lectures, you know, he's the CIA guy. And I got bored with hearing it, so I thought, after meeting John last night and spending some time today with him, I'd sort of like to give it a little different slant. We all know where he's coming from, right? We all know that he was in the CIA, and that was a long time ago. What I see now is a very human being that has gone through a lot of struggle within himself and a lot of pain to try and understand why things go on in the world. He searches to understand why we put up barriers amongst ourselves, barriers that are so cold and hard that we would kill each other over these barriers. Not only kill each other, but kill entire populations. So I'd like to introduce John Stockwell, the humanist, the peace worker, and a man who is dedicated to helping us live together in peace on this planet, John Stockwell.
Our president down in the United States orchestrated and led the nation recently to the Persian Gulf War, and perhaps 300,000 Iraqis died in the process. Simultaneously in all of this, we have the president of the United States bringing together what he calls the New World Order, promising a dramatic organizational change in the organization of the powers of the world. My own discovery program, coming out of the CIA, three secret wars, the last one on a subcommittee of the National Security Council as the chief of the CIA secret war in Angola, coming out, tiptoeing out, very much afraid, very much off balance, just knowing I'd been part of something that was wrong, determined to speak out about it, testifying to the committees, 60 Minutes, facing the public, writing my first book. But I didn't know what we had been part of. There were lots of people better informed than I. I was a soldier, I was like a fullback. I knew what it felt like and smelled like and sounded like to duck your head and charge into the line. Jamaica, where the CIA was running a destabilization in the election campaign, to Cuba, which had been the target of CIA operations, and we had fought Cuba and Angola in my war, to Nicaragua, as they launched the covert action there of the 80s, in the early days, in the first year, this thing was taken identically from the blueprint of my operation, so I could recognize fine details of what they were doing, and even some of the people involved. And while I was there, meeting a woman who had, mind you sit in Washington rationalizing these things in terms of national security, and you're 10,000 miles away from where people are suffering. And you don't write cables inside the building saying, like from Tegucigalpa or from Luanda up to Washington, saying, our forces raped 75 women today and killed 300 children. It's all in esoteric terms of accomplishing this and logistics and standing up to the evil, the rationales of a thing. But they introduced me to a woman who had been gang raped by men working for my former colleagues. And they showed me, and I held a child who had recently been maimed by CI pyrotechnics. And this was a deep psychic bruise to sit and hold a child involved in what I had spent, half of a career half of an adult working time doing. And it also left me with a sense of rage to watch these things going on, knowing what we had learned from Angola and Vietnam and the other places. I also went back to Vietnam, the scene of that crime where I'd served and come out in April of 75. And I set out in the process of this to read, just making it a habit to read a book a week. And you keep that up over, you know, years going by, and you get into hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books and the articles. And of course, meeting Helen Caldicott, meeting Carl Sagan, meeting the admirals at the Center for Defense Information and many other people, and public debates and lectures and question and answer. And I think growing and figuring some things out and then going on to figure some other things out. The first thing I got into was reading about CIA covert operations. There are hundreds of books about them, well documented now. Just briefly, and mind you, I'm obliged, I regret, to insult your intelligence by just whirling, skimming across the top of dramatic and profound events. I mean, the Vietnam War, people have gotten PhDs in one little tiny slice program of the U.S. involvement of what we call the Vietnam War. And we've got an hour, you know, to go through and put it all together in a big picture. We will have a long question and answer to discuss, and more specifically as you choose. But what I found generally, the Church Committee reports. Just to summarize for you, the CIA has done in its 45, 50 year history something in the neighborhood of 3,000 major covert operations and 10,000 minor operations. And Senator Church, investigating these things in 1975, defined a minor operation would include an attempt to kill a foreign chief of state. That would not be a major operation. And we had run 3,000 major operations. Some of these bloody and cynical beyond belief. The Indonesian operation of 1964, the CIA set out to discredit the Communist Party, making it look like they would rise up, provoking a reaction from the army in which 800,000 people, according to the CIA's own estimates, were killed. And in the aftermath, the CIA wrote reports recommending that this be a model that be considered and copied elsewhere in the world, because it had not only eliminated one of the world's larger communist parties, it had eliminated the entire segment of the population, the Indonesian ethnic Chinese, that tended to support the communists. And that is nothing more or less than genocide and the advocacy of genocide. The Office of Public Safety for 26 years until the international outcry forced the United States to stop was training tens of thousands of military and police officers in the techniques of population control and repression and torture, CIA officers going down to work in liaison, as we called it, with the police in Latin and Central America and Asia and Africa, and literally give them equipment for torture and teach classes in the techniques of torture. Once again, we can go into that in greater detail if you like, but just to give you a sense of how depraved it got in fact and detail. One of the most famous advocates of this thing, 7 years in Brazil, 3 in Uruguay, Dan Mitrione, would pick up beggars, have them picked up to be used in his torture training classes, with the horror being that the beggars were known to be innocent of any wrongdoing, and they couldn't say, here are the names you want, stop hurting me. They could only lie there and scream, and when they would collapse, he would have doctors brought in to shoot them up with vitamins to rest them up for the next class.